Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call here tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me and the program. You can also find out about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and that's the primary sponsor of the program here tonight. And there's other information that's there, a number of articles and things that I've written on various topics. The latest one on there just posted last week, The Death of Shame. And talking about the fact that there's no shame today. And so I'll let you take a look at that if you get a chance. That's it, livewithpastoral.com. There's also links to some other things there and some word searches that I put together in the past and just the old past programs. I think I am current, just looking at it right here, I am current right now through last Sunday, the 7th of April. And you can listen to both the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. And I also have our Friday afternoon programs. Every Friday afternoon at 1:30, we're here on AM 1220, The Word. And that's a half hour from 1:30 till 2 o'clock. And last Friday, let's see, this past Friday's not on there yet, but the Friday before that, the 5th of April is. And so you can listen to those programs as well. And there's a number of other materials and all links to different things, all at livewithpastoral.com. So I encourage you to check that out. All right. Well, we're going to, I think, start the program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we have to come together tonight. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. Thank you for your blessing this past week. And again, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless you, use the program for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, in all things, help us to lift up and glorify Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, and I am the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Not associate pastor. I'm the only pastor. We're a small church, just me. And pastor, I'm the pastor. I'm the song leader. I'm the cheap bottle washer. No, that's my wife. She washes the dishes at the church. Actually, I watch some too. But, we're a small church and everybody pitches in pretty nicely, though. But being a pastor of a small church, you learn to do a lot of things. And so, in addition to all the preaching, I have to lead the singing and put together the church bulletin and put together the church newsletter, which is where the articles come from. The article right now, The Death of Shame, is from our April church newsletter. And though the article is online, the newsletter, I don't believe I've got that online yet. That's another one of the things that I do. I'm the webmaster, or whatever you call it, web designer, web content provider, web this, web that. If I don't do it, it doesn't get done. So in terms of the internet. And we also broadcast our Sunday programs, our Sunday morning, Sunday evening programs on YouTube. And every once, it seems like about once a month, I find out that one of our past programs has been deleted by YouTube for violating some nonsense or other. They're there. We're making a switch over to Rumble, and our Friday night Bible studies, which I encourage you to check us out on Friday night. If you can't make it in person, you can find us online on Rumble Just look for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, or go to liveatpastoral.com. I think I have a link there. And you can find us there, and you can watch us online on Rumble. And we have a two-hour Bible study every Friday night. I'm the producer and content provider for that too, I guess. One of the things you do when you're in a small church, you do a lot of different things. Don't get me wrong. We do have some other people to help out with odds and ends, and otherwise we wouldn't be able to function and we wouldn't be able to be on the air with you tonight. But we're certainly glad for everybody that helps. I tell you what, by the end of Sunday, after being on my feet, because it really is kind of interesting, because when I get in and I get started, you know, we actually have a 10 o'clock Bible study hour, and it doesn't really start at 10 o'clock. Everybody comes in and gets some coffee and have a donut or something, and everybody catches up and fellowships and all that, and so it takes a little while to get going. But basically, from the time I get out of my car and walk in, I'm pretty much on my feet, because, you know, there's no chance to sit down, and so I have to be on my feet during that time, and then during the 11 o'clock for the service, and that usually goes until after 12:15, 12:20, somewhere in there, and then leading a closing song, invitation song, and finally, after all that, and talking to some people afterwards, I might get a chance to sit down for a few minutes, but so that's what's kind of nice, and then Sunday night, do it all over again, get there and on my feet the entire time until the service is over. So coming here on Sunday nights is kind of nice, because I get to actually sit down and do this. It's kind of nice. I think people would look a little askance at me if I brought a stool in to sit on the stool and lead the singing or do the preaching. So I'm not sure which one would work better. I think if I had to do one, I would probably sit on the stool to lead to do the preaching, because I'm afraid trying to keep time with the music, I'd probably fall off the stool. But that's a whole nother subject. At any rate, I'm just thankful to have the opportunity to serve God and to do some things for the Lord. But at any rate, don't know where all that came from here tonight, but I guess I just sitting here thinking it's just nice to sit here in the studio and talk on the radio. And hopefully I'm as a blessing to you in some way, some fashion or another. And encourage you to visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. I know where I was going. I was saying, too, you can check us out online. YouTube's got our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services. And then Rumble, we have our Friday night service. Eventually, we hope to get switched over to where we can do Rumble for the Sunday morning and Sunday evening services as well as the Friday night, just because Rumble's a much better platform, and we don't have to worry about our videos being thrown off because we violated some leftist rule on YouTube. So anyway, check us out online, as I said, liveatpastoral.com, and give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our number is 888-677-9673, and I'm assuming if you're like me, you survived the apocalypse this last week. I'm telling you, some people were going crazy thinking that the world was coming to an end. If it did, I missed it. If the world did come to an end last week, if the apocalypse happened, if somebody could call and let me know, because I missed it. I didn't see it on the news. Although last night, certainly what was going on in the Middle East with Israel, absolutely incredible when that broke, and glued to the television, but it was more the internet and some different news sources. But all I can say is Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Iran launched a massive attack on Israel last night. Hard to see where you would have not heard at least a little something about this, but somewhere between 170, 185 drones, between 30, 36 cruise missiles, and 110, 120 ballistic missiles. And out of all of that, 7 ballistic missiles actually impacted inside of Israel, negligible damage. There was a young Arab boy, I just saw something that said it was a girl now, but was either injured or killed. I've seen reports both ways, but that's about the only, if that young person was killed, that was the only loss of life recorded in Israel. Many of the these drones and cruise missiles and ballistic missiles were shot down outside of Israel. Really, really kind of amazing when you look at it. The Israeli Air Forces were operating without restriction over Saudi airspace, over Jordanian airspace. The Americans, the French, the British, the Jordanians, and even the Saudis joined in shooting down Iranian missiles and drones and things like that. And just a, like I said, a testimony, God's hand. The middle of the night, people asleep or getting ready to go to bed, and yet God was there. He that keepeth Israel, as the Bible says, shall neither slumber nor sleep. And what an amazing thing. Say, but it was technology that did it. Well, who do you think gave the gave Israel the ability to figure out this technology that allowed them to take all of these, you know, 99% of all of the missiles and drones and things out? Well, continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's certainly something the Bible says that we ought to do, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to do that, and continue to watch in the news. We're going to wait and see what happens. I'm sure it's most likely that you're going to see some kind of retaliatory strike by Israel against Iran. Iran had targeted population centers and things of that nature rather than just military targets. And had it not been for the Iron Dome and the Iron Beam, which a lot of people have not heard about, that's a laser system like the Iron Dome, only uses lasers rather than missiles. And, of course, David's Arrow 1 and 2 taking out missiles, the ballistic missiles. Some of them were taken out. They actually launch, they go out of the Earth's atmosphere and then come back down in a ballistic track. And they were able to take some of them outside of the Earth's atmosphere. And, talk about space wars. Begin to wonder or realize now why President Trump created a space force. If you start looking at some of these things, largest drone attack ever. Of course, drones have not been around that long. Largest ballistic missile attack ever. And certainly the greatest example of air defense activity and successful activity, might say, on the part of Israel and its allies during the attacks last night. So, as I said, continue. Pray for Israel and pray, as the Bible says in Psalm 122, verse 6, for the peace of Jerusalem. He says, they shall prosper that love thee. All right, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy, who's been waiting patiently. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Hi, good evening. And I'm glad, Nancy, that you survived the apocalypse last Monday.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was just thinking about how the Biden administration will do anything. Now, this isn't my topic. This is just a side note. How the Biden administration, his handlers, are doing everything they can to stop Trump from winning the election. And I've heard at least one talk show host say that Biden is actually exacerbating the war with between Iran and Israel by giving Iran billions of dollars, and then they pretend like they're on Israel's side. But I don't think Biden really is. Because then they're thinking, well, maybe we can have martial law and then there will be no election. So so then Biden will still be president. So I was just wondering what you thought of that possibility, because as you know that they're doing everything they can to take down Trump, and they know, you know, if he does get elected, they're going to be in big trouble. So now this is not my topic. I just want to know what you think about that idea.
Well, yeah, and when you mentioned about the Biden administration and Iran, remember it was the Obama administration, and it's the people that were controlling Obama during his time as president that are controlling Biden as he's occupying. Well, actually, he's usually not even in the Oval Office. As an aside, he's usually out. He's been on vacation more than any other, probably more than most presidents combined. And a lot of people don't know this. There's actually a building, I think it's across the street, that they have several sets set up in there. One of them is a set of the Oval Office. Another is a set of the White House press room, and some other sets. They're like movie sets. They're TV sets set up in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I guess they figure they can control the lighting and things like that better. I actually saw pictures of it, and you could tell because one of the pictures, it was showing the plants outside flowering, and it was like in the middle of winter or something like that. The plants mm-hmm. outside the window had green leaves and were flowering or something at that point. But so they use these sets every once in a while where I guess they can control things better. But whatever the case is, the Biden administration and the Obama administration before it have given billions of dollars, literally billions of dollars, to Iran. And Iran has this drone technology, which they're now exporting around the world to North Korea, to Russia, to other places, and certainly it's gone to China as well. Because remember, during the Obama administration, there was a cruise missile that went down, and rather than destroy it or push to get it back or whatever, the Iranians basically kept it and copied it and reverse engineered it and all that. And so this was a problem, and they've allowed this to happen. And of course, through Turkey, the United States was warned that an attack was coming, and when it was going to come and what they were going to do. And I guess we did say something about, you know, you shouldn't do it, but they said, you know, basically it's going to be done. And the Biden administration basically said that they'll join Israel in acting defensively, but keep Israel on a short leash so they don't go into Iran. And we've seen that. We've seen the Biden administration now trying to pressure Israel not to retaliate. You had 300 and some missiles and drones sent at you in an attempt to destroy you, and you took nearly all of them out. Call that a win, and just get on with your life is basically what they're saying to Israel.
Yes, sir.
No, they can't allow that to happen. They need to retaliate, because otherwise it's going to happen again. And so while on the face, the Biden administration has been saying, we're, you know, standing strong with Israel, we will defend them.
Right.
They've been saying, listen, if you go into Iran, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So it's a scary position to put our country in, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 that God would bless those that bless, and he's talking to Abraham and his descendants, which is Israel, the Jewish people. So I will paraphrase and say, I'll bless them that bless Israel and curse them that curse Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other passages that bear that out. And we've seen that happen in history. And it's no coincidence that the very day, the very morning after the Biden administration pressured the prime minister of Israel not to do anything and all this, that the biggest earthquake in modern times struck there in the northeastern United States, centered in New Jersey, on the eastern seaboard. So no coincidence at all.
Don't you think that's acting out Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
God has the best word. Yeah. He can punish the evildoers.
Yeah.
Even if we don't. So,
yeah. Yeah. So
that was pretty obvious.
We need to pray for our country, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, now my question
yes.
tonight is regarding Psalm 119:165.
All
great
right.
peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I would like to know if you think possibly the word law can have multiple meanings. For example, in this particular verse, doesn't it seem like great peace have they, which love thy law, they're talking about saved people? Now, I don't know. This is just my own thought. And nothing shall offend them. I would think, that the law has multiple meanings, not just the Old Testament Ten Commandments, but I saw this one article and said another definition of the law is sinlessness. So if you could expound on that, thank you.
Well, sinlessness, that's kind of interesting. That would be keeping the law, I suppose, too. But, when we're looking at that passage, great peace, Psalm 119, verse 165, right? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And the actual word there is Torah. You know, the Jewish people, of course, refer to the law as the Torah, and that's what this word is. The law is Torah means the law, and this is especially in reference to the first five books of the Bible, in particular the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, the books of the law, as we call them, the law and the prophets. Remember, Jesus talked about the law and the prophets, dividing the Old Testament into the law, the first five books, and then the prophets being those that came after. And there's other ways that they divide it up a little bit, and I'm trying, anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked on that. But the law there, when we look at the commandments of God, because you see that frequently in the 119th Psalm, you see, I'm just looking a little further up, just look at verse 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments, and thy testimonies in verse 138, coming down to, there was one that I was looking as I was looking through here, 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. And I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. And so it talks a lot about his word, it talks about his testimonies, it talks about his statutes, it talks about his commandments, and all of these things kind of tie in together with the idea of the law. And mm-hmm. when we keep God's law, I just thought of something as we were talking about this this evening in church. I was preaching on Proverbs 28 verse 2, where it says, mm-hmm. For the transgression of a land many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. And as I was talking about this tonight, I was talking about how the first part of that talks about when transgression, that's transgression of God's law, and when people transgress against God's law, there's a lack of stability. But when people have knowledge and understanding and knowledge of God's law, and they endeavor to keep it, it brings stability and the blessings of God. And so that's really why they would have great peace, because God gave us his law not just because he wanted to make us do certain things. He mm-hmm. gave us his law so that we would have a framework in which we could build a life where we would have the freedom to do what we want to do and yet mm-hmm. have certain protections. And people say, well, how can you have freedom if you have law? Well, I got on the highway and came up here to the radio station tonight. So I drive about 15 miles on the highway. And while I'm driving, I'm relatively confident that I'm not going to get into a head-on collision. So why is that?
Yes.
Because there's laws that state which side of the road you're supposed to be on, especially when you're on a divided highway. And there's laws that talk about having lights on your car at night. And there's laws that talk about, you know, who yields and, you know, all kinds of things. And because of those laws, I have reasonable confidence that I could get out on the road. Right, I could leave here tonight, get on the highway, and drive to Kentucky and have reasonable reason to believe that I would arrive there safely. And that's because of laws, restrictive laws, that give me great freedom. If I didn't have those laws, you know, every you know, half mile down the road, I'd be worried somebody's going to run into me, you're driving the wrong way, driving with no lights on, this, that, or the other, not yielding for, you know, red lights or something or whatever. But those laws that people view as restrictive actually bring great peace to me. So when I go out on the road because of the law and knowing that most people out on the road are going to be obedient to the law, I have peace in getting in my car and hopping on the highway and driving up here because I'm not worried that I'm going to be, you know, in an accident on the way up here. So I'm not bothered by that. Now, I'm using that as an analogy. People who love God's law, and if we look at the law as his commandments, remember when God gave the law to the Jewish people, he promised to bless them and to prosper them and all and protect them if they kept his laws. And they agreed to that. And then he had what was called the cursings, that if they broke his law, if they turned his back, their back on his law, and they did not keep his law, that he would remove his hand of blessing, his hand of protection, and not allow them to prosper. He wouldn't prosper them. And as a consequence, when they loved the law, they had great peace, and they were stable, just like I was saying here in Proverbs chapter 28. When you have people who are of understanding and knowledge, there's a stability there. And this is the example I gave, the when Israel separate into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom of Israel, which turned their back on God, didn't have one single godly king. And the very first king was Jeroboam, was given the option by God that if he was obedient to God, God would bless him and prosper him. And he turned his back on God and instituted a false religion. Well, the northern kingdom, which didn't last near as long as the southern kingdom, had 19 kings and 9 dynasties, okay?
Wow.
The southern kingdom, on the other hand, had 19 kings and 1 dynasty, and it lasted longer. Now, some people say, well, there was Queen Athaliah, but she was a usurper, and the true king was hidden in the temple, which I always found ironic because apparently she didn't go in the temple much. So... and she was a wicked woman anyways. And not every king in the southern kingdom was a godly king, but the southern kingdom had some godly kings like Hezekiah and Josiah and different ones. And so the southern kingdom was blessed with a certain measure of stability that the northern kingdom lacked. And so we see that over and over, the stability that comes, and nothing shall offend them. When we look to God's law, and I think it, that use of that word there, Torah, encapsulates both the laws and commandments, as well as simply just the scripture, because, you know, that's what the Jewish people say when they refer to the Torah. If you look at the first 5 books of the Bible, the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, there's a lot more there than just laws and commandments. There's a number of things there, the creation, the calling out of Abraham, the origin of the Jewish people, God's promises to them, and many other things. And if you have knowledge and understanding of God's law, it is going to, in addition to stability, it's going to produce great peace. And you're not going to be offended easily because you understand what God is doing and why. So,
well, don't you think that in the New Testament that we can apply that law? I mean, I know they're talking about love thy law, like the law in the Old Testament. But don't you think the wisdom and the basic truth in this particular verse can apply to us in the New Testament?
Oh, absolutely. Now, we're free from the law in terms of salvation because Christ kept the law for us. But I'll guarantee if you violate a lot of these moral principles and things that are in the law, it's going to cause problems for you. But if you follow some of these moral principles that the law talks about, it's going to give you peace, and you're going to have a solid understanding of who God is and what he's doing. So, hey,
well,
thanks for that, Nancy. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. We've got a break coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Ooh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and invite you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And when you go there, you find out more about me, read some articles there, including the latest article I have, The Death of Shame. And there's some other materials there. And, excuse me, link to our homepage, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us. We'll have more information about that later in the program as well. But check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And also brought to you tonight, in addition to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Now, I have to preface this with something. Last week, I brought in a 3-day-old piece of cheese pizza from from East Coast Pizza. And it had been in my refrigerator for 3 days, drying out. And I gave a piece to our producer, Kenny. And he nuked it in the microwave in the studios here. And he pronounced it to be good and enjoyed it. Well,
especially for three-day-old pizza.
There, that's what I'm saying. And I tell people all the time that this pizza, you can have it several days later. If you put it in the oven, it'd be better, I'm sure. But even in the microwave, it comes out almost as good as when it was first made. And, you know, a lot of times people think, well, it can't be that good. Well, Kenny, what did you think last week?
I thought it was really good, especially coming out of a microwave. Usually I like to warm up pizza in the oven, like you said. But especially coming out of a microwave, I thought it was fantastic.
Well, I was at church this morning, and Gus, who owns and operates East Coast Pizza, and it's his recipe. It's his pizza dough. It's his sauce. It's his recipe. And he uses quality ingredients. And he said he was listening to us last week. He usually gets up early, and he doesn't usually stay up for the entire program on Sunday night. But he said he couldn't sleep. He was listening to us, and he said he was laughing at us talking about the pizza.
The three-day-old pizza.
The three-day-old pizza. In fact, he said, yeah, it's just like the resurrected pizza. 3 days in
three
the
days
refrigerator.
Yep.
Resurrected in the microwave. But it was funny. But so I went home this afternoon, and I was messing with something, and my wife was getting ready to fix something to eat, and Gus called me, and he said, listen, Pastor, I went to the pizza store, and I'm making you a pizza, and he said, I want you to take one to Kenny as well, and so I went up there, and I got a pizza that he sent down for us, and he gave me, what was it, a pepperoni pizza for Kenny to bring in. And so it was made, I think I picked it up somewhere around 2 o'clock this afternoon and brought it home, put it in the refrigerator and brought it in tonight. And when I came in the studio tonight, I gave it to Kenny. So now that you've had only a pizza only a few hours old, as opposed to 3 days old, drying out in my refrigerator, what's your thoughts now?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was, and I almost ate the whole thing already. It was six pieces. I've had four of the pieces already. Nuke it for like maybe 30 seconds because it's fresh. It hasn't been sitting in the refrigerator for 3 days. So I nuked it for like 30 seconds. And then, but I don't want to eat all of it now because I want to take some home and then heat it up in the oven.
Right.
And
right.
have it that
and
way.
And that way, yes.
I thought it was fantastic. I appreciate that. I appreciate it, Gus. Thank you very much.
Well, we're glad. And so Gus, if you're listening again tonight, success on the pizza. And we mentioned that, and I just want to mention East Coast Pizza. You can find them in Garfield Heights. They're located at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road. They're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you don't see them right away, you can see the high school. And if you don't see them, you know you're in the area. 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And also, if you're interested, now see, Kenny, this could be a side hustle for you. If you want to start your own pizza shop, there you go.
Give Gus a call.
Give him a call. Gus, because it's East Coast Pizza is not a franchise, it's his own business. And if you want to get into the pizza business yourself, or maybe you have a restaurant and you're looking for a good pizza recipe, you can give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you talk to him, he'll help you get set up in your own pizza business or help you figure out how to make the pizza so that you can add it if you got a restaurant already or something. You're in business. You could sell it here in the studio to the other
people. I was just going to say, we need to get talk to the bosses here to see if they'll purchase us a pizza oven.
There you go. There you go. Well,
get our ingredients from Gus, and we're off, you know, off and running.
You can do that. You can do that. And so, at any rate, another successful convert there. Only this case to pizza, Gus's pizza. So, but I again, if you like pizza, I enjoy it thoroughly, and I like a pizza where there's a little bit of crust, not the thin crust.
See, that's the thing too. It's the crust isn't like super thin, and it's not super thick either. It's perfect.
Just right. It's just
perfect.
Right. And it's got just the right chewiness. It's not leathery, and it's not like biting into a cracker or something, or a brick. It's just right. And when you heat it up, it comes out the same way. It's amazing. It's amazing. God gave Gus the recipe. He gives God the glory for it. He said when he started out, it wasn't really that good, the recipe that was given to him when he started when he bought the shop. And he tinkered with the dough, he tinkered with the sauce, and he uses all quality ingredients and produces a fantastic pizza. So check out East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them, 216-341-9100, and you will enjoy it, I'm sure. All right, well, thanks. Appreciate that, Kenny.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Gus.
All right. All right, well, we're going to continue on here. We've got Cheryl who's called in, and Terry's on hold as well. We'll get to him as well, but we've got Cheryl there. Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Al. Well, I have a question, and it actually is very often linked to what Nancy says.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, it was striking me, you know, what is the kind of the story of who gets to speak, who got to speak with God directly, audibly. I mean, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Moses and Noah. And when did that stop? Or what was the kind of situation that God would speak to somebody audibly? I mean, we'd all, I think, really like that because we wouldn't misinterpret things as sometimes we do. But what is that?
Well,
you know, thread throughout the
yeah, process, we have some. Audibly. Yeah, we have some, but it's not as often as a lot of people think. I mean, we've got some people today, I think, that they think that God's obligated to audibly speak to you every day or every time you have a question. I can honestly say in my life, I have no recollection of ever hearing God audibly speak to me, either from outside of my ears or inside of my ears. I have no recollection of actually hearing God audibly speak to me. Now, obviously, Adam and Eve, they did. Another person who did, the second person in the Bible, or third person in the Bible recorded, is actually Cain. Remember,
yeah,
Cain,
yeah.
God talked to him. And we know that he talked audibly to Noah, in regards to building the ark. And then he talked audibly to Abraham and called when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He talked audibly to Moses. And remember the burning bush and all, and on Mount Sinai when he gave him the Ten Commandments. And so there were times when God spoke audibly to some of these people. Some of the other prophets in the Old Testament, without going all the names. And then, of course, one could make the argument that everybody that heard Jesus speak heard God speaking audibly, of course, because it was Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. But I know we're talking about hearing like the voice of God from heaven speaking to us, you know, not the person of Jesus Christ standing in front of us speaking to us.
Right.
But we do know that there are people that heard, remember, those gathered at Jesus' baptism. And remember when John lowered Jesus under the water, what's that?
I was thinking more of, you know, someone who isn't in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah, but I was going to say, when John lowered Jesus under the water and he came up out of the water, the voice of God the Father was heard audibly saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And also when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter and all were up there, a couple of were up there with him. Excuse me. I feel like I got a cough here tonight. When they were up there on the mountain with him, and again, the voice of God the Father, you know, was heard audibly speaking. And then John, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, in the book of Revelation, Jesus appeared. And if we discount that one for a minute, he was caught up into heaven in chapter 4, and he hears God speaking from the throne. So kind of interesting things. Now, since that time, I think one of the big things, of course, is that God has given us the Bible. And so when we read the Bible, we're actually, you know, it's the written word of God rather than the audio word of God. So we are hearing what he has to say. Now, I'm not going to rule out and say that God has no ability to speak audibly to somebody if there was a case where he needed to. But again, like I said, when you read through the Old Testament scriptures, the times when people heard God audibly speak to them really was few and far between. It wasn't a common everyday thing. And so again, if God was going to do that today, again, it would not be a common everyday thing. Now, I know people are going to say, but Pastor Al, God speaks to me through his word, which we talked about. You know, you're reading the word of God, which is God speaking. But we're talking about the audible voice that you actually hear, you know, somebody saying, "My son, my daughter, my child, this is God speaking to you." You know, as opposed to when you read the scriptures and the Spirit of God impresses upon you. It's like we were talking, you know, about the eclipse. And when I saw the eclipse, and like a lot of people, it was such an incredible change from, you know, 99.9% coverage to totality, that what kind of leapt to my mind was Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And I could say, well, that was God speaking to me. Well, the Spirit of God brought that to my memory, made me think about that passage, but I did not hear an audible voice of God saying, "My son, remember Psalm 19:1. You know, it was just something that I had read and I had studied, and the Spirit of God brought that to my mind. And when I think of looking at the sun in that incredible condition, which I've never seen before, and I actually was reading something about that, it's almost impossible to see that any other way but in person because of the differing contrasts of the light and all that. Somebody said that even the professional pictures of it, in order to encapsulate what you're seeing with your natural eye, they have to do multiple pictures superimposed on each other to be able to get the different nuances of the light. And so it's something that you just can't really understand until you've actually experienced it. And so seeing that and then seeing the glory of God revealed in something like that, I mean, it speaks to me, but it wasn't an audible voice.
And so that's a very good point about, you know, before the Bible, because you're right, you have the word right in front of me, but I don't know, it was just striking me, like, isn't this interesting? I just wondered, you know, and maybe it's like, I don't know, with, you always think of, if you really want to get it right, you know.
Well, but you know, the problem is human beings, I was going to say, human beings being what we are with our sin nature and all, even when we can speak to God directly, we're still going to have people who will doubt it or get it wrong.
Yeah, what that meant to me and all that kind of thing. Wouldn't it be nice if we all could have this, you know?
But it sure would be nice to be able to speak to God and hear an audible voice every time you spoke to him. Yeah. But you know what? For those that know Christ as their Savior, guess what? That time's coming.
Yes, that's true. But I think it's a really good point, because the Bible doesn't change if you understand that it's inspired word and it's not going to change and not anything added or anything taken away. But yes, and then maybe it's, I guess I'm thinking of John being, it's so overwhelming that, maybe he needed to speak to him by himself because it would be such an overwhelming experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's just really interesting. And I know if you know the Lord more and more, then I think you get it right, more and more when you're really listening in it, that still small voice of, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. And as you're talking, I was thinking too, sometimes I think it's the way people phrase statements. Because I remember talking with somebody in the past, and they were talking about, well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. And I did. I asked them. I said, well, how did he tell you? Did you hear like an audible voice? And they said, well, no. It was like I was reading the Bible, and all of a sudden the passage leapt out at me. And I looked at that, and it was like a light went on, and I understood it, and the Lord told me. I said, so in other words, you're saying God didn't speak to you audibly. He just helped you to understand something. And that was the phrase that this person used when God helped them to understand. God talked to me. And so sometimes I think that's what people are meaning when they say, well, because a lot of people say, well, God speaks to me all the time.
He spoke to me like it, and that kind of thing. It just became very clear in yourself, I didn't come up with that thought by myself.
Yeah. And I've had times in my life where it's almost like a completely formed thought occurs to me that, hadn't occurred to me before, but it's like fully formed thought. Boom, there it is. I didn't hear an audible voice. It's just all of a sudden there was a thought in my head about something, this is right or this is wrong, or some insight into something or answer to a question that I had. And it's just like, boom, there it is. And that's God helping you, guiding you through his Spirit, bringing things to remembrance. Cause that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people forget about that. There's some people who think falsely that you can be saved without receiving the Spirit of God. John says, Paul says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You can't be saved without having received the Spirit of God. And when you have the Spirit of God in you, he speaks to you, and he brings things to your remembrance. I was just thinking of John chapter 16 here, where it says in verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, and this is what Jesus says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And that's just really incredible. You think about that. The Spirit of truth, that's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to guide us into all truth. And that's where sometimes when you're reading the scriptures, all of a sudden something clicks that you didn't get before. Because God's guiding you into truth.
I mean, how many times you might have looked at something, and it's like all of a sudden you see something that you never saw before.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm preaching or talking about a passage, like in Bible study or something, all of a sudden a thought will hit me right while I'm speaking. And something will click that I hadn't quite realized, or maybe I just kind of was sort of bouncing around the edges of it, and it's like the Spirit of God brings it into focus at that moment.
I've seen that.
So that's not an audible voice.
And here, look how long you've, especially for a sermon that you have you know, been in prayer and worked on it and all this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, when you're up there, something occurs to you that you hadn't realized in that whole long, you know, time of preparing for a sermon. For
example. And most pastors that have preached for any length of time will tell you there's been many times that we go into the pulpit prepared to talk about something or preach one way, and you get into the pulpit and the whole thing goes in an entirely different direction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Completely different, because the Spirit of God is guiding and directing you the way He wants you to go. And that's where it's important to be, you know, receptive to the Spirit of God and allowing Him to guide and direct, because He knows what He's doing. That's not an excuse for just not studying or planning anything, you know. Just say, well, I'm just going to trust God, and I'll just let Him do it, and I'll just, when I get there, I'll just preach by the letter. I'll open my mouth and let her fly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not what we're supposed to do. Even in messages where, you know, it's gone a completely different direction from what I planned and prepared for, usually, somewhere along the line, the stuff I studied was helpful. And if nothing else, it helped me to understand where I shouldn't be going with the message, because God wants different.
I agree with that. And it's, you know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, that many situations come up and you go, you know, that just doesn't sound right.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't sound like that's in the Bible. So it's knowing it. I mean, for myself, I think of it as having my antenna up. You know, I don't think so, but let's just look it up, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's good about, you know, somebody, I think what hinders me or somebody, many people I say sometimes, is that, you know, somebody asks you a question, you think you might not know the answer, and that's not a bad thing. I think the good thing is, well, let's look that up together. And see what God says about that. You know, don't just sit here and consider my interpretation and wonder. So let's look that up. You know, it's not bad to say, well, I'm not sure right now, but I know how to find out.
Right. And we allow God to teach us. In fact, in John 14, and I know the break's coming up here, in John 14, sorry, verse 26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," here's what he says, "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." He's a teacher.
Yes, I know. Isn't that great?
He's a teacher. And I think, as we saw before, where he called him the Spirit of Truth, there's a lesson in that too, because he's going to bear witness to truth.
Right.
And help you to understand the truth of God's word. But we have to allow him to teach us rather than try to force him into whatever box or category we want to push him into.
Or also, you know, let somebody propose something they say is the truth. It's like, no, this is truth, capital T.
Right. Cheryl, we got the break coming up in about 5 seconds.
Okay, well,
so I want to thank you for calling, and stay tuned. We got another hour to go. In 1776, a band of American patriots, many of them devout Christians, put King George and the British Empire on notice. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Bold words. Today, we face another battle for our rights. Powerful forces are arrayed against us. We face spiritual wickedness in high places. Where are the American patriots willing to put the enemies of liberty on notice? Where are the pastors willing to stand alongside, saying, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand"? This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. It's time to put on the armor of God and stand.